Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
You're going to need something to protect you on that bike anyway. Why not a disguise?
Be Captain America, Steve.
This is Reb Brown, Captain America at the Flopcast. Take care.
Live from Chickentown. This is the Flopcast, episode 258.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Kevin, hi.
Hi. Well, here we are. I think we're going to play a little movie game today. That's the plan.
I like games.
That should be good. We will get right into that in just a second. How about we start off as we usually do? What do you have for National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Kevin, this week I have a celebrity birthday.
Oh, good. I always enjoy a celebrity birthday for Whatever Day.
You know who is turning the big 8-0 on April 22nd?
8-0, 80 years old.
80.
Wow. That's pretty old.
I'll say.
So this has got to be somebody who's been around for a while, practically 80 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Do you want a hint?
I'm going to say, is it Ricky Schroeder?
It's not Ricky Schroeder.
Is it Ricky Schroeder's grandfather?
I can't say with absolute certainty that Ricky Schroeder's grandfather is not turning 80 this year.
Is it Schroeder from the Peanuts cartoons?
No. You are so stuck on Schroeder.
Am I close? I'm getting close, right?
No. No, you are not.
All right, let's flip all those cards over. I give up. Who's turning 80 this week?
Born in 1937 on April 22nd, Jack Nicholson will be turning 80 years old.
I did not realize how old Jack Nicholson was, but I guess that makes sense.
I don't remember him ever being young, to be honest.
Yeah, you
and I'm not insulting him. He's an amazing man. I just don't remember a young Jack Nicholson.
Well, yeah, you've got to go back to like the 60s to see the early Jack Nicholson, the original Little Shop of Horrors movie, like before it was a musical, the original like B-movie Roger Corman Little Shop of Horrors. You can see a very, very young Nicholson in that.
Who did he play?
He was the giant man-eating plant.
Wow.
He was wearing a giant... I have no idea. But I believe he was in it.
Because I would have guessed the dentist. Yeah, what I know Jack Nicholson from is far more modern. I really liked him in one of the two movies he won an Academy Award for. Because it turns out he's the most nominated male actor in the history of the Academy Awards.
Not know that.
He's won two of them, and one of them was for his role in the movie from 1997, As Good As It Gets.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. I saw that.
Helen Hunt.
I saw that. Isn't that weird?
A good movie.
All right.
I liked it.
I think they could have trimmed a half hour out of that, tightened it up a bit.
Okay, that's also fair, and we... Standard disclaimer, yep. I'm easily amused, but I liked the movie.
Now, what else did he win an Oscar for?
So it was a pretty big period of time between the first one and the second one.
Yeah.
The first one he won was in 1975 for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay, that's good. I saw that. That's good.
I've not seen that one.
I read the book. I saw the movie. That's pretty good.
Am I missing something? Do you think it's something I would like?
Yeah, maybe.
Given that I liked As Good As It Gets.
Yeah, it's very different. It's about a bunch of crazy people.
Huh. You know?
Like he's locked up in an institution.
Oh.
Yeah.
not the kind of crazy I thought of first.
Yeah. Well, let's see. He did The Shining after that.
Yep. And that is something he's very well known for. And yep. The Joker.
Joker. Oh, fast forwarding up to 1989. Sure, The Joker.
And I know other people have played The Joker, but I always think of him.
He was the second live-action Joker, I think, after Cesar Romero from the Adam West series.
And then there's something that reminds me of Jack Nicholson, even though it's not him.
Yeah.
Do you know who Sean Mullins is?
Yeah, singer.
Yeah, he's a pop artist.
Right.
And he had the song Everything's Gonna Be Alright, Rockabye.
Yes.
And he's singing at parts of it, but there's times where he's talking.
Yes.
And I loved that song. And then somebody pointed out to me, you know, he sounds like Jack Nicholson when he's doing that talking part. And I haven't been able to hear the song the same way since. Because now all I can hear is Jack Nicholson.
Well, I think the great Luke Ski did a parody of that song about Jack Nicholson.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
How do you not know this?
I don't know.
Hang on, look into that.
Definitely. I'm flabbergasted. I feel like this is something I'm sorry. Yeah, I feel like I should know this.
It's a deep cut from the great Luke Ski.
Okay, this is a song I need to know because this.
Check that out.
I completely independently arrived at this. So.
You're not the only one who drew that comparison.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
Nicholson played a wolf man in the 90s. He did a movie called Wolf.
That's cool.
It was not very good, as I recall.
Well, there was Teen Wolf, and then Jack Nicholson was Adult Wolf.
Yeah, Teen Wolf was Michael J. Fox. Teen Wolf 2 was Jason Bateman. And then just Wolf was full-grown adult Jack Nicholson.
Well, when you gotta follow Jason Bateman and Michael J. Fox, that's a tall order right there. That's not exactly fair.
It's a proud tradition of
wolves.
Wolf people. Nicholson, what's he done lately? I guess he retired?
I looked into this because I knew I was going to be talking about him on the show. He does not say he's retired.
He's waiting for that one perfect Wolfman script to come along. They did Teen Wolf and Teen Wolf 2. He did Wolf. Now we're waiting for Wolf 2. He'll be like an 82-year-old Wolfman. Has anyone done an elderly werewolf movie? And Nicholson, this could be his big comeback.
I'm going to stop short of calling that an excellent point, but you do make a point.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
It's not a good point at all.
It's just...
Some would argue it's really not even a point.
It's just I can't argue with you, and that's all.
I just don't have the strength anymore when you go on and on about something as stupid as an elderly werewolf movie.
And I'm sure if I sit here and think about it long enough, it's something I'd want to see.
I was not planning to ever go to a Jack Nicholson movie again. I did not like the first Wolf movie, but I'll say right now, if he makes an elderly werewolf movie, I will go and see it. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you just sold one ticket, Jack. And happy birthday.
Jack's back.
Now, speaking of movies, I guess it's appropriate that Whatever Day was a movie star, because our whole show is going to be kind of movie-themed today.
Not just movie-themed, but Jack Nicholson's turning 80, and... Yep.
This is about the 80s.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even make that connection.
Well, I did.
So here's what's going on. I don't know if you noticed, but a couple of weeks ago, this kind of time-wasting activity went tearing across the internet in which people would list their favorite movie for each year of their life. And everybody was doing this, and you'd see it on your Twitters or your Facebooks or whatever. People were making these long lists for each year that I've been alive. Here's my favorite movie that came out that year. And they were fun lists. I enjoyed reading through some friends' lists when I saw them. And I thought, well, maybe I'll do that too. And then I thought, that's going to take a really long time. Not just because of how tragically old I've grown.
Not
but
as
also,
long as it would take for Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, Nicholson, better get to work on this list while there's still time. But also, it turns out a whole lot of movies come out every year.
It's true.
So I thought, that's going to take a lot of time. And then I thought... I hardly have any friends, so if I just post this list online, no one's going to even see it after all those hours of effort I put into it. So save it for the show. I thought, you know, we've got the Flopcast here. If we're going to make a movie list, let's do it on the show.
Yeah.
Then I thought, wait a minute, that's still going to take way too long because we'll do like a six-hour show if we try to do a movie for every single year of our lives.
It would rival the death list.
Yeah, so, you know, we like to keep these shows way too short. So let's Flopcast style... We're just going to look at the 80s.
And you completely upended my plans because I, too, saw those lists on social media.
Yeah.
And I was instantly dismissive. I said, yeah, not going to do that.
Right.
And then you sent me a Turks that said, hey.
Guess what we're doing?
And I went, oh, okay.
Huge time waster for you. Get ready.
But I like the spin you put on this, so I think it's going to be fun.
Cornflake, want to spend the next 7 hours on Wikipedia? Well, hang on. It's your lucky day. All right, so we have each made a list of our favorite movie for each year of the 80s.
Yes.
The 80s, I'll remind everyone, lasted approximately 10 years. So we've got roughly 10 movies each. And what we're going to do, I have not seen your list. You have not seen my list. We're going to try to guess what each other's favorite movies are for each year of the 80s. And let's see how well we know each other.
Well, we've spent 257 podcasts.
Yes.
Plus change talking to each other. We should be able to at least get some of these.
As research, did you go back and listen to every previous episode of the Flopcast just to hear when I would happen to mention something about a favorite movie?
Well, you know how thorough I am.
Wow, that's impressive.
Absolutely not thorough. I did not do it.
All right, so we don't know how this is. And I have some runners-up listed for certain years as well, and I think you might as well. So if we happen to hit a runner-up, we will point that out as we go along. Maybe give partial credit.
Yeah, and I just realized that much like our popular top 4.5 list,
yep,
there is the potential for us to have a tie on any of these years.
I suppose you are correct. We could easily have a match. So we don't know what's going to happen, but we will keep score. We will declare a winner.
Oh, wow.
The winner will win, I'm going to say nothing.
Will the winner at least get to finish their coffee?
Yes.
Okay, good.
You can finish both coffees. You can wrestle a second cup away from the loser.
Oh, I'm going to start putting mine away now to get back. I don't think I'm going to win.
We don't know what's going to happen, but should we work chronologically?
I love that we're doing 80s movies as a competitive sport.
Yeah, we're going to make this angry and competitive.
Yes, I like the idea of working chronologically.
All right, let's start way back at the beginning of the 80s. And if I worked out this correctly, mathematically, that would be the year 1980.
Yes.
I'm going to take a guess at you. I'll start. I had a hard time with this. I kept in mind you would have been very, very, very young back in 1980. And going over this crazy list of movies that kicked off my favorite decade, I settled on, this is a pretty wild guess, I'm probably wrong, but I went with Popeye.
Oh, wow.
The Robin Williams, Shelley Duvall, live action Popeye. How did I do?
Here's the thing about this 80s list,
yeah,
okay, is that back that long ago,
yeah,
I wasn't watching movies, so the movies that I like toward the earlier half of the decade are movies that I took in later in life that people said, go back and watch.
Okay,
so
these are actually not necessarily movies you enjoyed at the time, but these could be a lot of dark, scandalous, adults-only fare that actually made your list. Got it.
Right, but
so I'm guessing that I'm wrong
in mind
about
that
Popeye
the,
then.
Right, the movie that's on my list for 1980
yep,
is not a movie I would have been watching as a tot.
Okay.
So.
All right, well now I can't take the suspense. For
I am so sorry that I don't have any runners
okay
up because
that's okay.
By the same token, it's movies I had to go back and watch. I have not gone back and watched a lot of movies for 1980,
yeah,
but I picked Caddyshack.
Oh, wow, interesting. Okay, I was way off on that.
Because of that gopher.
The gopher. I met that gopher.
I know you did.
Saw that gopher in person at Dragon Con last year.
Oh, Bill Murray.
The happiest moment of my life.
The rest of the movie was A-okay, but Bill Murray and that gopher? I mean, I could have just watched that.
Yeah, and we discussed the gopher last year in my Dragon Con wrap-up. But as I think I showed you a photo as well, the gopher is big. That gopher puppet is way bigger than you think when you watch it on TV. It was way larger than real-life gophers. Because the puppeteer, who was there, that this is the guy that created and performed as the gopher in Caddyshack, and I'm blanking on his name right now, he built that thing just to be the right size for how he wanted to control it. Because the gopher did not appear in the same shot with Bill Murray. You only saw the gopher by itself. So he could make it any size. If he wanted to make a 100-foot tall gopher, I suppose he could have. That would have been awkward.
That would have been, yeah. That would have been cumbersome.
Yeah, so it wasn't 100 feet tall, but it was very big. Great movie. That's a solid pick. Again, I wasn't thinking movies that you would go back to later in life. So I was trying to go with a very wholesome
Well, keep that in mind, because as we start to go through the 80s, there will be movies that I saw when they came out.
Yeah.
So that will be applicable eventually. But in 1980, it just wasn't.
Yeah.
I ended up watching Caddyshack when I was in my 20s. And it
sure.
was because, well, as you know, I used to work in media. And
yep.
I worked on a radio station with this guy is still on the air, morning show down in Maryland, Bob Miller on WFMD. And
right.
he was...
They play all the hits.
It's an AM talk show. Bob Miller,
yep.
Nice guy, but he was horrified that I had never seen the movie Caddyshack.
He should be.
And he basically made it a homework assignment. I went on to do the weather, because that's what I did. I was a meteorologist. I went on to do the weather, and... At the end, he made reference to something about Caddyshack, and I didn't know what he was talking about, and he was like, you must watch it. And so
yeah.
I did. And I liked it enough that it got to be my favorite movie from 1980.
Wow.
So thank you, Bob Miller, for making me watch that movie.
Now, have you seen Popeye?
I've not. But I do like Robin Williams, so
it's
I can
Robin
see why
Williams,
you would guess that.
They put the giant arms on him, you know, the big Popeye forearms.
In theory, I would like that
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, if they sing, that's a crazy movie. Again, I was thinking how young you were at the time, and I was mostly concentrating on movies from 1980 in which Cindy Morgan was not topless.
Ah.
And now I'm seeing I made a huge tactical error. All right, yeah, why don't you take a guess now. What would be my favorite 1980 movie?
Was it Caddyshack?
It was not Caddyshack, no.
Can
wow,
I...
wouldn't that have been something?
I know. I thought that was really our best chance for a match.
Yeah, you hit one of my runners-up. Caddyshack was...
I thought I might.
I listed two runners-up. That was one of them. Yeah,
was so one of the
close.
Other runners-up Airplane?
No.
Okay.
I thought this would be a slam dunk for you, Cornflake. My other runner-up, I will say, was The Empire Strikes Back,
uh-huh.
the second Star Wars movie. But my favorite 1980 movie is Flash Gordon.
How did I not know that?
I'm shocked. I thought that was an easy score for you. Okay, but you got a runner-up, though. You're already way ahead of me. I'm going to give 1 point for hitting a runner-up, and I will give 3 points for hitting the favorite right on the nose. That's how we'll score this.
That is
And again,
cool.
It's completely meaningless because there's no
matter.
Prize. There's no prize.
Except in terms of coffee.
Yeah, coffee and bragging rights.
Bragging rights. When we are done with this list,
yep.
remind me to tell you why I was having a difficult time trying to decide what your favorite 1980 movie was. I don't want to give it away until we're done with the list.
Okay, I will try to remember.
Okay.
This was an easy call for me, because, man, Flash
okay.
Gordon.
Duh.
And again, I love Empire, I love Caddyshack, had to go Flash Gordon. All right, let's jump ahead to 1981. And again, I was thinking in terms of you were very, very young at the time. And I happened to notice that there was a Muppet movie out that year. So my guess for you is The Great Muppet Caper.
Runner-up.
That's a runner-up? Okay.
You did a runner-up.
I'll take the point. But what would it be?
The Fox and the Hound.
Oh, you know, I wrote that down as a possibility, but then I was going back and forth, and I landed on the Muppets. Man, I came very close. I wrote that down.
And what a star-studded cast that was.
Mickey. Were there stars in The Fox and the Hound?
Mickey Rooney was the voice of Todd the Fox.
Oh, I didn't know
adult.
That.
And Kurt Russell was Copper. And Sandy Duncan was
hey.
Vixie.
Okay.
And the young version of Copper in the movie, because The Fox and the Hound meet when they're young.
Yep.
The young Copper was Corey Feldman.
Oh, really?
Now, none of this mattered to me
yeah.
at the time when I was little.
Corey Feldman would have been very young.
They sounded like really young kiddos.
Sure.
And... what I thought was cool at the time was the animation. It was very splashy. And I had the Fox and the Hound card game.
Oh, wow.
Which was kind of like a Go Fish.
Yeah, because you were way into gambling back then, as I recall. Like, you had a problem. Like, a serious...
Look, I don't like to talk about it. A lot has changed since then. I'm
yeah.
better now, but I know I've got that Fox and the Hound card
yeah.
game deck somewhere.
A lot of Disney cartoon-themed gambling going down in the early 80s. I think I saw this movie, I think, but I don't remember anything about it.
It was slightly more horrifying at certain parts than children's movies
yeah.
are these
days. They put
days.
That right on the poster. That was the pull quote on the poster.
slightly
horrifying. Gene Siskel says.
But I remember it from when I was little. I'd like to go back and watch it as an adult.
Mm.
But I don't want to get too much into it because I still need to guess your 1981.
We've got a long way to go, so you're right. Let's move along. 1981, what do you have?
Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Oh, of course.
Slam dunk.
That's a slam dunk. My favorite 81 movie, of course.
We were just talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark. We were talking about Raiders of the Lost Marks.
It's all I talk about is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Just a couple of months ago, we went to see Richard Marx at a theater in Woonsocket, and that was the theater where I saw Raiders in 1981.
And so when I saw that as an option, I said, he mentioned the theater that he saw it at on a recent show, so that was kind of a dead giveaway.
Yes. I remember this theater from 36 years ago, and that was a movie, I mean, I knew Harrison Ford from the Star Wars movies already. I knew this is the guy, this is Han Solo doing something else. I didn't really know anything about it going in, and I could not believe it. The only real runner-up on my list would have been Clash of the Titans, because that was also a huge... I was way into all the Greek mythology back then.
I almost guessed that, and then I saw Raiders on the list.
All right, we are moving on to 1982, and for you, my guess, a pretty monstrously big movie from 82. Biggest movie of the year, I believe. I'm going with E.T.
Nope.
Oh, come on!
I'm sorry, E.T. No, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I understand how well-liked E.T. is. I did like the Neil Diamond song about E.T.
So you're a much bigger fan of the song than the movie.
I'm so sorry. I know I'm in the minority on this, but E.T. just, the E.T. puppet just creeped me out.
Yeah, yeah.
Just completely creeped me out to the point where I just couldn't watch the movie. And if it wasn't because he was, like, looking creepy, he was talking creepy, and I just couldn't.
What if they'd used the Caddyshack gopher instead?
I think I would have liked it much better.
That would have been your favorite movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you at least like Reese's Pieces?
Yes.
Okay.
But not as much as I like Reese's Cups. So that movie was just outside of my zone.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
The only other guess, and I get no credit for this, and I'm probably still wrong, but my only other guess was Annie.
Runner-up.
That was one of your runners-up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. But again, that was not my guess, so I get no credit for that. But all right, what is your movie for 82?
It's a movie with rats and mice, Kevin, which is interesting because we were talking about rats on the show.
Secret
recently.
Of NIMH?
Yes.
Was that 82? Okay, I didn't even write it down, but yeah, Secret of NIMH, of course.
With Dom DeLuise, it was Jeremy Crowe. And did you know that a young Shannon Doherty and Will Wheaton were?
No.
They were children of Miss Brisby, or Mrs. Brisby, the widow mouse.
I had no idea they were in that.
They were in this.
Will Wheaton.
Yes, Will Wheaton was in this movie.
This was like several years before he was on my radar.
But it would be years after seeing the movie when I was little before I knew what NIMH, N-I-M-H, stood for.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of surprised because I went searching for NIMH and found that it stood for the National Institute of Mental Health.
Yes.
And
that's the place that Nicholson had to break out of in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. I wonder what NIMH stands for in the movie. NIMH in the movie stands for the National Institute of Mental Health.
Yeah, it was a documentary.
Here I was watching this as a kid.
I remember going to see this movie when it came out because I was a fan of the book. I had read, I think we read it in school a couple of years earlier, but I had read the book, which was called Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of NIMH. And notice her name was Frisbee. And they changed the name to Brisby just because Frisbee is a licensed, you know, trademarked product name. You know, the flying disc.
Yes.
So they changed her to Brisby, and they shortened the whole thing to just Secret of NIMH. But I was a big fan of the book. I read it a couple of times back then, I think.
I think one of the big reasons, besides the fact that it was animated, and anything animated when I was little was, I thought, for kids.
Sure.
And maybe this was a little bit dark, but I remember it fondly because it is the first movie I remember going to in the cinema, and I'm pretty sure my Gram and Pepe took me.
Oh, nice.
So, that one wins for 1982.
Sure. And it was like super intelligent mice and rats and whatnot, right?
Uh-huh.
Are any voles? Did they have any voles in that?
I don't remember any. I was very little. Yeah. We went in the evening and I fell asleep pretty
you
early.
You might have slept
it.
Through the vole scene.
Right. And I woke up toward the end and I did go back a few years later when I was a tween and I watched it again.
I have not seen this thing since 1982, but I do read the book every night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's dedication.
Right, what is your guess for my favorite movie of 82?
Ooh, is it Diner?
Wow. Yes. I didn't think you'd remember that.
Well, it's got Paul Reiser, right?
It does have Paul Reiser, absolutely. Wow, how did you hit that? Not counting the fact that probably once or twice on the show I've announced, you know my favorite movie is Diner.
Yeah, well, I did remember that.
I guess that was kind of a big hint.
Don't expect me to ever remember anything important, but something like that I can remember.
And I got to say, this was a big year for me because Tron is 1982.
I saw that.
And again, I wasn't trying to be tricky.
Right.
But I was thinking, Cornflake's probably going to guess Tron and she'll be wrong because it's Diner.
Yeah.
But I was just, I was playing it straight. I wasn't trying to...
Throw me off.
Yeah, yeah. I was not trying to throw you off, but I thought that you would be thrown off by the presence of Tron in 82. But absolutely, Diner.
You speak so fondly of it that I keep telling myself that I need to see it.
And I feel like you don't hear people talk about Diner too much. So I feel like a lot of people probably don't know about Diner. Everybody, go watch Diner. So it's like set in 1959. It's just all these goofy, idiot kids hanging around at a diner in Baltimore. And the fun thing when you watch it now is that it was a bunch of largely unknown actors in this thing at the time, and everybody in the cast became big stars afterwards. That's how well cast this movie was. But yeah, it was Paul Reiser, Kevin Bacon, Daniel Stern, Steve Guttenberg, Tim Daly, Mickey Rourke, and Ellen Barkin. That's your cast.
Yeah. You really can't go wrong with that.
Plus, I like diners. Right? I like just going, and you do too.
Yeah, I do.
If you're just a fan of diners in general, you will enjoy this movie because it mostly takes place inside a diner.
And what you described sounds like something I've lived through, going back to my old hometown on a Christmas vacation, meeting up with friends at a diner and just talking about life.
Now, that said, the one possible flaw some people might have with the movie is that it's a very dude-centric movie. It's all guys. Ellen Barkin is in it, but in general, it's a bunch of guys, and women are this mysterious thing that they don't understand. I don't think Diner would pass the Bechdel test. Is that what they call it?
I don't think everything has to pass whatever that test is to be entertaining.
It's a great movie, but there is that going in. Know that it's a bunch of guys. So yeah, Diner. Wow, I'm impressed. Nicely done.
Yay.
And I've been to that diner. You can visit the diner that they shot this movie at. It's still in Baltimore. They were closed the day that we visited, so I didn't get to go inside.
But you got to go there.
I went up to the outside of the diner, a few years ago. All right, let's jump up to 1983. And again, this was a tricky one for me trying to figure out you. There was another Disney movie that year, which was Mickey's Christmas Carol. However, I went with another Christmas movie. I went with A Christmas Story.
You shouldn't have.
Would I have been correct to stay on Mickey?
Because A Christmas Story didn't even make my runner-up list.
Wow.
But Mickey's Christmas Carol.
I am going down in flames on this thing. All right. What was it?
It was Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Oh, that was your favorite?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought that was a runner-up.
Oh,
okay.
And I've talked about this movie, I think, on the show before.
Yeah.
So well
and,
done.
And it was
Disney.
all the classic Disney characters, but cast into the story of A Christmas Carol, right?
It made it really hard to watch or read The Christmas Carol in any other way.
Yeah.
Because the Disney one was the first one I ever saw.
Now, so, who did they use to play Ebenezer Scrooge?
They used Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, I figured.
Oh.
I think I've seen this. I'm not sure. I don't quite remember.
It's just so perfect because Scrooge McDuck has a nephew, just like Scrooge in the movie has a nephew, and it's Donald in this. And Mickey is Cratchit. And so Mickey and Minnie, they have a family.
Uh-huh.
They have little mice and Tiny Tim. And there's just nothing about that movie that I don't like. It.
Sure. Now who are the ghosts? Like Goofy
was
Goofy
is one
a
of
ghost?
Them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There was one who was a giant,
And
I don't know if it was from Disney's Jack and the Beanstalk. People are going to be mad because I'm not getting this right. And then there was the Ghost of Christmas Future was...
Pluto?
No, it was...
Chip and Dale?
No, it was a character you don't commonly see, and it was that...
Gyro Gearloose?
He, I think, appeared in Goofy cartoons.
Okay.
Pete?
Yeah, I cannot remember.
He's kind of like an angry dog type person.
Okay.
And a little bit on the bulky side. I think his name was Pete. I think I remember also seeing him in Goof Troop.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen Mickey's Christmas Carol. However, you know me and Mr. Magoo.
Yeah.
You know, there's only one true Christmas Carol in my heart.
Let me tell you something, though. After seeing Mickey's Christmas Carol first, yeah. nothing prepared me for how morbid Mr. Magoo was. I did not see that coming.
Magoo was pretty faithful to the book.
Whereas Mickey's Christmas Carol may not have been.
Yeah, no, a lot of people don't realize in the original book, they had to change the name. Scrooge in the book, his original name was Frisbee. They had to change it for legal purposes. What is your guess for me for 1983?
DC Cab?
It's a runner-up.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear it's
you
a runner-up.
You hit a runner-up, you take the point. This is a tough year. There were some big movies for me in 83. Yeah. DC Cab, definitely a runner-up. I was flipping back and forth between War Games, mm-hmm. and what I eventually landed on was The Outsiders.
Ah. Yeah.
Which is another movie, sort of like Diner, where the whole cast got famous.
So remind me, who was in Outsiders?
Outsiders, Tom Cruise, Patrick Swayze, C. Thomas Howell, Ralph Macchio, Emilio Estevez, Diane Lane, Matt Dillon. I think Leif Garrett might have been the most famous guy in the movie at that point.
Wow.
amazing cast, a great movie.
I can see how DC Cab wouldn't quite stack up.
Yeah, I love DC Cab, but it's so goofy. Outsiders and War Games would get the nod over DC Cab.
As well-produced films.
Yeah, great
actors.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I could have gone to War Games, but I had to pick one. Almost a coin toss. But nice job again, and you're way ahead on points. I'm very fearful for my coffee at this point.
I think there's a good reason for this, and I think it's because when we go back and talk about the 80s, you remember them so much more vividly.
I think you're right.
Vividly.
Yeah.
You remember them more vividly than I do.
Yeah. What's in your coffee, by the way? Now I really want to win. All right. Let's go to 1984. Again for 84, a bunch of big, big movies from that. 84 was a huge year for movies. And several were in contention. I finally landed once again on the Muppets. My guess is the Muppets take Manhattan.
And you got a runner-up?
Another runner-up. Okay.
But yeah, you were right about 1984.
I don't think I saw Muppets Take Manhattan. Should I see it?
I barely remember it.
Yeah.
If you had to choose between The Great Muppet Caper and Muppets Take Manhattan, I would pick Muppets Take Manhattan.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Now, I get no credit for this, but would it be Ghostbusters?
It was.
Ghostbusters. Oh, see, I wrote it down, then I went with those Muppets.
And I could see why.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Muppets, you really can't shut me up. But
sure.
When I was little, for me, it was more about Sesame Street and the Muppet TV shows. Muppet Movie was a little tough for me to sit through.
Right, right. Now, are you one of those people that's seen the Ghostbusters more times than you can count?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of those people. I think I might be the only one who can count, because the number is one.
You've only seen Ghostbusters once?
I saw Ghostbusters in 1984, I believe in that same theater where I saw Richard Marx and Raiders, and I have not seen it since.
Wow.
I liked it.
Yeah, I loved the actor.
I just never saw it again.
I mean, you had Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis.
Sure. Bill Murray.
And now I feel bad that I can't remember the name of the other one.
Oh, Ernie Hudson?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rick Moranis, Sigourney Weaver. Amazing cast.
And that's one of the ones that I did watch around the time that it came out and had to cover my eyes during the scary parts.
Yeah. So yeah, that would be a little scary for a little kid with the ghosts and all.
And so I had to go back and watch it as an adult. And
there's an Air Supply song in that movie, you know.
Which one?
There's an Air Supply song. It's on the soundtrack. You get the Ghostbusters soundtrack. There is an Air Supply song in Ghostbusters, and it's barely in the movie. There's a song called I Can Wait Forever. It's just kind of like somebody's walking by with a radio, and you just barely hear it in the background in the movie. But it's there.
But it's there.
Yeah. All right, your turn to guess what would be my favorite movie from 1984.
Well, if I got this one right, it's going to be almost like it was too easy.
There were a lot of contenders, I think.
There were, but I picked Footloose.
You have a runner-up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I would have been very disappointed if it wasn't on your list at all.
Footloose was certainly a runner-up. Bunch of big movies in 84. This was a tough one. Another runner-up, I will say, was the second Indiana Jones movie.
Right.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I also jotted down, this is Spinal Tap. That was 84.
Oh.
However, my favorite, I had to admit, was Karate Kid.
Of course.
Yeah, even more than Footloose.
I mean, Footloose was a good movie, but I think Karate Kid had a little more going on.
More of a heart to it. I think.
Than Footloose did. It wasn't.
Yeah, Footloose had more of a foot to it. Of Kevin Bacon.
On the cheesiness scale.
Yeah.
The Karate Kid was less so.
Yeah, Footloose was a little goofy.
It was goofy and cheesy.
Yeah, I love it.
Right.
We watched it together, a couple of years ago. And discussed it here on the show.
We did, which is why I guessed it.
Sure.
I forgot that Karate Kid was even in the running for that year.
It sure was. Yikes.
But I think even then it would have been a runner-up. But now, you know, the more I think about it, the more I realize that movie had some substance. And it had great
absolutely.
Actors.
Sure.
And I kind of can't believe it wasn't one of my runners-up.
I just recently rewatched all four Karate Kid movies. It's the original and part two and part three and the next Karate Kid, the Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank.
Yeah. I made a weekend out of it. A sad, lonely weekend. All right, let's jump up to 1985. We're halfway there now.
Let's see.
85. For you, I was going back and forth on a couple of movies here, and I ended up on Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Runner-up.
Runner-up again.
Man, good runner-up.
Am I ever going to hit one right on the nose? It's looking less and less likely.
What was the other one you were thinking? Just out of curiosity.
Back to the Future?
Nope.
No? All right. I give up. What is it?
I thought maybe you were going to say Just One of the Guys was one of my first.
One of the Guys. Yes.
I liked that movie.
Me too.
But the movie that I settled on was a miniseries drama film.
Oh.
Anne of Green Gables came out in 1985 with Megan Follows as Anne and Jonathan Crombie as Gilbert Blythe.
This is completely off my radar.
Really?
Now, but when you say miniseries, was this on TV?
It was a miniseries drama film.
Okay, what does that mean?
I don't know, but it was on the list on Wikipedia.
Did you see it in a movie theater or did you see it on TV?
Have you
seen it yet?
I've seen it on VHS.
Okay, all right. That's an acceptable answer. I was starting to think you hadn't seen it at all, man.
Are you kidding?
Then I would have objected.
I have run that VHS
to Pee-wee only being a runner-up.
It's the only reason I had a VHS player up until recently,
okay,
when it bit the dust.
Finally. So how long is it?
199 minutes.
Okay, so it's a movie length.
Yeah,
it's a long movie. That'd be 3 hours plus.
It's a lengthy movie.
Yeah, but theoretically, one could suffer through the whole thing in a movie theater.
You could.
Yeah.
I suffered through the only...
Is it any good?
Are you kidding? Come on.
I don't know. It sounds boring just based on the name.
No.
Is Pee-wee Herman in it?
It's a little bit heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
But it's about a little girl named Anne who's in an orphanage. And then she ends up getting adopted by Marilla and Matthew Cuthbert. They're a brother and sister who own a farm. And they originally wanted to adopt a boy. And the orphanage sent Anne instead just because they were sick of dealing with her.
Sure.
Because she was a little bit of a wild child. But
are there chickens?
There are chickens.
Yeah, on the farm.
Yep.
Like long, long scenes with just the chickens.
No.
That's why it's so long. Like the middle hour of the movie.
Well, there are not.
Because then I might watch it.
I'm not going to sell this film to you. I can't imagine you sitting there watching it. But, oh, loved that movie.
Well, that's great. But yeah, man, I did not have a prayer. I'm hitting your favorite movie for 1985. Maybe you did better than
but
me.
But I wasn't trying to be tricky.
No,
that movie was on the list.
That's fine. That counts. What would your guess be for me for 85?
Was it The Breakfast Club?
Yes!
Woohoo!
Man!
The Breakfast Club would have been one of my runners-up.
I would have guessed that you had hacked into my computer, except this is a handwritten list I'm working from.
Yeah, well, how could it not be The Breakfast Club? That movie was amazing.
Yeah, and there really wasn't any other movie in contention. There were a few others that I was looking at. You know, The Goonies is a big one from 85. The Last Dragon is 85.
What about Just One of the Guys?
Just One of the Guys. I love Just One of the Guys. It's ridiculous. It's goofy. But yes, Just One of the Guys with the great Joyce Heiser. The Legend of Billie Jean, I'm a big fan of, from 1985,
yeah,
with Helen Slater. You know, Supergirl. But yeah, Breakfast Club.
Yeah, none of those movies are The Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club was the easy pick. And of all those John Hughes teen movies, this has got to be the one that I really know the best, that I've seen the most. It's pretty ridiculous. It's flawed. I have some problems with it.
Yeah, because that guy would have totally fallen through the drop ceiling. I'm sorry.
That's my biggest problem, yes. How did Judd Nelson successfully crawl like 300 yards? But for all its faults, I just can't look away.
Right. because Ally Sheedy.
Ally Sheedy was so cool, and yikes, you got the Simple Minds title track. Just a classic, absolutely. All right, wow, you've done it again for 85. Let's move on to 86. Maybe I'll have slightly more luck in 86. And man, I was looking at several movies for 86. I finally landed, so to speak, on The Boy Who Could Fly.
And you nailed it.
Did I finally get one? Nailed it. Man, all right. That was risky. I wasn't sure. I was like, this is so weird and obscure.
And there's only one reason why.
Yeah.
It's because I'm not totally sure that Combat Academy / Combat High was in the movie theaters.
Yeah, you know, even though I know that that's your favorite, I wasn't even thinking of that because that was a TV thing.
Yeah.
I suppose it would have counted.
Because, yeah, we didn't make any restrictions to it, but yeah. I didn't want to be tricky, so yeah. I did pick The Boy Who Could Fly.
Yeah, man, you scared me there, even mentioning Combat Academy, because I realized I completely forgot about it. Yeah, that was TV, and I was really looking at theatrical stuff, and I think you were too.
Yeah.
The Boy Who Could Fly, I have not seen it. I understand it's about a boy.
Jay Underwood.
Who could fly.
Yes.
And I know Mindy Cohn was in it.
Yes.
Mindy Cohn, Natalie from Facts of Life.
As the best friend of the girl who...
I remember seeing the previews for it and thinking, is this a real movie? They made a movie called The Boy Who Could Fly.
And I've watched it many times. Yes, they did.
And look at that. There's Mindy Cohn. She's in a real movie.
This movie could have been a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
From the style of it. That doesn't make me like it any less, but it could have been. It could have also been a TV drama.
Yeah.
So Mindy Cohn was right at home.
The movies that I almost guessed were The Great Mouse Detective,
mm-hmm.
Highlander. I know you're more of a TV Highlander yeah. fan than a movie fan, though, so that's what...
But that doesn't mean I dislike the movie.
That's why I backed off of Highlander. Little Shop of Horrors was 86. Speaking of Jack Nicholson and Little Shop of Horrors, he was not in the 86 Little Shop of Horrors, of course. He was in the 60s version. And Star Trek IV, the one with the whales when they go back in time.
My runner-up was An American Tale.
Oh, okay. I missed that one.
That's when I remember going. I very rarely went to the movie theaters in the 80s, but that's when I remember going seeing and being nuts about that Little Mouse vinyl.
Is American Tale the one with the Linda Ronstadt song?
Yeah.
Was it Linda Ronstadt out there. And James Ingram?
Yes.
Yeah. One of the great 80s duets.
And if we were going on movie soundtracks,
yes.
American Tale would have won.
Mm.
I still love that song. But right. The Boy Who Could Fly,
yeah.
Fly, as cheesy as it is, all the way, totally my favorite. Slam dunk, Kevin.
I could not be more thrilled with myself for finally, 7 years into this thing, I hit one. Now we go over to you for 86. What's your guess for my favorite movie?
Oh, there were two and I was having a tough time picking between the two of them. And
interesting. What did you not pick?
I didn't pick Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Okay.
I picked Karate Kid Part 2.
Wow, that's a runner-up.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty funny now that I forgot to pick Karate Kid.
Funny, yeah. The 84, you totally missed Karate Kid, which you would have been right. 2 years later, you did it all for the glory of love with Peter Cetera, and you went with Karate Kid Part 2. That is a runner-up. But no, I went with Stand By Me.
I'm an idiot.
Speaking of young Will Wheaton.
Oh, come on.
And Corey Feldman. A couple of stars of Stand By Me have come up already.
What is wrong with me? How did I not pick Stand By Me?
Stand By Me.
Just for that, you should get my coffee.
You had Will Wheaton, right? Corey Feldman.
Uh-huh.
River Phoenix.
Right.
Jerry O'Connell. Plus Kiefer Sutherland as the villain.
If I wasn't sitting on a couch, I'd be kicking myself right now. Stand By... I'm sorry, Kevin. I just... Oof. Wow.
And you had not seen Stand By Me until just a couple of years ago. We watched it together.
Yes.
And not even for the show.
Just because.
Yeah. Like, we've watched movies for the show a few times.
Right.
That was just get over here. We're going to watch Stand By Me.
Right.
We're not even going to make a podcast about it. That's how serious I was about you watching Stand By Me.
And they still missed it. Oh.
Well, you got the runner-up anyway, because, of course, Karate Kid Part 2, I love.
Great.
That's when they go back to Okinawa.
Yes. It feels like around that time, like the mid to late 80s, Japanese culture was a big thing.
Oh, sure.
So, I remember there was a Sesame Street special where Big Bird goes to Japan.
Big Bird went to Japan. Yeah, that was a big deal.
Around that time, too. It seemed like it was just a thing, and I don't know why.
Yeah, probably because of The Master, that series about ninjas with Lee Van Cleef. That might have a renewed interest in the Far East.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. If only anyone had seen it except me.
Right.
That theory might hold up. All right, let's jump ahead to 1987. And I only had a couple of contenders on my list for 87. I briefly considered The Brave Little Toaster, which I've never seen. Then, however, I switched to The Princess Bride.
You got a runner-up.
Yeah, all right. I'll take the runner-up point.
You should have stuck with The Brave Little Toaster.
Oh, man. I don't like this game anymore. It's making me crazy.
With John Lovitz as the radio, Thurl Ravenscroft.
Oh, wow.
As the vacuum, Kirby the vacuum. And there was Phil Hartman, who was an air conditioner that sounded like Jack Nicholson.
I have not. Everything's so connected. I've never seen this movie. I've not seen Brave Little Toaster. And yet, just in the last week or so, I've heard multiple people talking about it.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a little intense at times, but the characters are lovable. I don't think that in its time, it was super popular.
And Thurl Ravenscroft, I'm a huge fan of course.
Oh, you would like the vacuum character.
If anyone doesn't know Thurl Ravenscroft by the name, you know him by the voice. That's Tony the Tiger from all the Frosted Flakes commercials. And the singing voice of the Grinch.
Grinch, yep. I did have a runner-up for 1987.
What's your runner-up?
It was Dirty Dancing.
Oh, wow, really?
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Of course. All right, now, what would you guess for me for 87?
Was it Spaceballs?
No, good guess.
Ooh.
Not even a runner-up. I did see it. I saw it. I liked it. No, my pick for 87 was The Lost Boys.
Right. the tables are turning.
Come on, teen vampires. That actually makes it just occurs to me now that's two consecutive favorite movies for 86 and 87 starring Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh.
So he was Stand By Me as Ace, like the leader of the gang, you know,
yeah.
The older kids, the mean kids. And then he was, of course, the head of the gang of vampires in The Lost Boys. You had the Coreys, both Coreys, Haim and Feldman in Lost Boys. Jamie Gertz from Square Pegs. She was Muffy, the preppy girl in Square Pegs. She was in The Lost Boys.
Wow.
What a cast.
Again, though, how did I not know that?
I also had as possible favorites Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I saw that one and I thought maybe.
Yeah, I just saw it this past Thanksgiving. It's a Thanksgiving movie. I hadn't seen it in many years. I just rewatched it this past Thanksgiving. Holds up. Steve Martin and John Candy. That's also a John Hughes movie. That's when he was getting off the teen stuff and branching out a little bit. I also looked at Tin Men. Tin Men is sort of an unofficial sequel to Diner. It's set in the Diner universe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a couple years later. It's like early 60s, still in Baltimore. There are scenes that take place at the diner. And there's one kind of like supporting character who is the same character appears in both movies. But Tin Men is Danny DeVito and Richard Dreyfuss. And they are competing aluminum siding salesmen. Which is that the nickname for those guys was Tin Men.
Tin Men.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Really funny, great movie. It's more of a normal movie than Diner, in that it has more of a typical movie plot to it. But it's great. Check it out. The Fine Young Cannibals appear in that movie as well. Like, they're a band performing at the club where these guys all hang out.
Are they doing the Drive Me Crazy song?
No, they don't do that. They do Good Thing, though.
Oh,
and this
yeah.
was like a few years before that came out as a single. You can see Fine Young Cannibals performing Good Thing in Tin Men back in 87. But my pick was The Lost Boys. Now let's jump up to 1988. And, man, I was looking at several for you for 88, and I have a feeling I'm going to be wrong again. I'm tempted to switch right now, but I think I'm going to stick on what I picked, and I'm about to be told I'm wrong, and I'm going with Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Runner-up.
That's a runner-up, all right. Was it Beetlejuice?
It was Beetlejuice.
Oh, man! I almost switched just now. I was going to call it audible. No, I went with the one I had circled, and I was wrong. All right, I got the one runner-up point at least.
By the end of the 80s, I was slightly less creeped out by somewhat scary things, so
yep.
Beetlejuice was tolerable, and I really liked the couple in the movie that ended up passing away. Like, I rooted for them as heroes go.
Absolutely. Got Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis.
Yeah.
Oh.
You really wanted things to go well for them. And Lydia.
Yeah.
Dietz. And that part where she's dancing at the end to shake Sonora.
Yeah. Yeah, surprising amount of calypso.
Yes.
To be heard in Beetlejuice.
And I have a few runners up from that year.
What you got?
Stand and Deliver.
Oh, wow. Edward James Olmos?
Yeah.
Sure.
They Live.
Yeah, of course, with our favorite Rowdy Roddy Piper.
And Oliver and Company.
Okay, another cartoon.
Billy Joel and Joey Lawrence and Dom DeLuise.
Together at last.
All in Oliver and Company. Very cute movie. But Beetlejuice, I think.
Beetlejuice was your favorite?
Was my easy favorite.
Roger Rabbit or runner-up, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Good job.
All right, how about me? What do you suppose I picked for 88?
I struggled for this year. I'm going to feel like a dork when I get this wrong. But I'm probably going to get it wrong, and I'm going to do it anyway. Was it Heathers?
I'm going to give you credit for this. Heathers actually was released in America in 1989.
Oh.
Heathers was my 89 pick. Yeah. So you are getting full credit for 89.
Do you want me to try for 88?
Yes. I'm going to let you have another pick for 88 because you're not beating me badly enough in this game yet.
Okay. Was it Mystic Pizza?
No, that's an interesting guess. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's on Annabeth Gish and Julia Roberts and Lily Taylor. I heard people at the time describing that as a female diner, actually. It got some comparisons. It, not really the same kind of movie, but I can see where people drew those parallels because these were three girls working at a restaurant as opposed to all the guys hanging around the diner, you know. But that's a smart quality movie, as I recall. I haven't seen it in a long time. Lily Taylor is always great in everything. Kind of an underrated, under-the-radar kind of actress. But, man, she's done some amazing work very quietly over the years. I saw her in Boston. We went to a thing, like a Q&A evening with Lily Taylor a few years ago at the Brattle in Boston. Interesting pick.
I'm really
tickled by your guess of Mystic Pizza. Yeah, I like that. It's wrong, but it's a very interesting guess. Actually, Cornflake, we have a match for 88. I went with Beetlejuice.
Oh, wow!
And you know what's funny? This is a total coincidence, but we were supposed to do this show last week or 2 weeks ago, and then we kept pushing this off. But after I made this list, a couple of days later, I got a text from our friend Andrea. And remember that weird movie theater that Andrea took me to in Lowell?
Yeah.
It's like up in the middle of an old mill. They were showing Beetlejuice. The Luna Theater in Lowell was showing Beetlejuice just a week
that.
Or so ago. And Andrea and I went to Beetlejuice.
Oh, wow.
So I just saw it. I'd never seen it on the big screen. I don't know why, but somehow I did not go and see it in the theater back in 88. But I just saw it on the big screen for the first time last week.
I don't think I saw Beetlejuice in 1988. I saw it not long after, though. It was rented, and I watched it at a slumber party.
Oh, wow.
At like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that'd be a good slumber party movie.
Very scary in the middle of the night to watch that. But, you know, I was trying to be cool and not be scared.
Yeah.
My other guess for you was Young Einstein.
Wow. Was that for 88?
88 was a tough year.
That sounds early, though. I thought Young Einstein was 89.
Wikipedia lists it for 88.
Okay, maybe that might be another one of those things where what country was it released in when?
Yeah.
I think that might have been 89 for American. In any event, I've never seen it.
Wait till you see what I mean, I've already guessed Heathers for 1989 accidentally. Wait till you see what I end up guessing when I couldn't think of anything else for 1989.
Okay, well, let's go up to 1989.
You get to guess
first. And I'm going to guess for you and... Oh, man, I was struggling over two.
This is tough.
There are two movies that were killing me for this year, and I have a feeling, once again, I'm going to be ready to jump out the window after you crush me with how wrong I am. My guess is The Little Mermaid.
And you nailed it.
I got it. All right,
you
finally.
Nailed it.
All right, and got another one.
Boy, okay. Oh, boy.
You know,
I was having a hard time picking for that year.
Well, do you know what movie was killing me that I wanted to pick instead?
Wasn't Turner and Hooch, was it?
It wasn't Turner and
was
Hooch.
Was it Say Anything?
No, I was looking at UHF.
Ah.
Weird Al Yankovic. I came so close to guessing UHF for you.
I don't think of UHF in 1989.
Well, that's when it came out.
I know. I know that's when it came out, but
yeah.
UHF is just kind of timeless to me.
That's true. It feels like it's always been here.
Whereas movies like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Dead Poets Society.
Yes.
Yeah. Steel Magnolias.
89 was a huge movie year.
Wow.
I would say that maybe the biggest movie years of the 80s were 84 and 89.
Yeah.
Because this was a monster year. I remember you talking about Little Mermaid and how you would try to do the flip with your hair when you were swimming.
Very
fondly. Come up out of the water, do the flip.
I still love the music from that movie. I think we watched it a ton of times in my household because there were many of us who were very little at the time.
Yeah. You had so many siblings. Just playing the odds. Were any of them mermaids?
Sadly, no. Yeah. None of us turned out to be mermaids.
That would have been interesting.
As a water aerobics instructor, I'm the closest one.
I have not seen The Little Mermaid.
Wow.
I never saw it.
Well, in case you're not interested, I think I've watched it enough for the both of us.
You probably have us both covered, yes.
But, you know, another favorite from that year was Look Who's Talking.
Oh, no, really?
Yes. I liked that movie.
Wow. There's no way I will ever suffer through such a thing. Well, all right. Well, I couldn't be more pleased with myself right now for landing on your cartoon mermaid there.
Yes.
All right. Now, you've already won for 89.
Right.
In that you guessed Heathers for 88. So nicely done. Heathers, I saw again recently for the first time in several years. That's an amazing movie. I'm trying to figure out if you would like it. You haven't seen it, have you?
I've not seen it.
Yeah. It's what you'd call a black comedy. It's just insanely over-the-top, dark satire kind of stuff.
Doesn't somebody die pretty close to the beginning?
There are some deaths in it, yeah.
Because I think I might have watched the beginning of the movie and then kind of wondered, why is this a comedy? What did I just get into? But I think, knowing that it's good, I could watch it.
Give it a try.
Give it another go.
Give it a try. Why not? Again, I noticed, just like with Kiefer Sutherland, it was in two straight years on my favorite, Winona Ryder, Beetlejuice, and then Heathers the following year. You've got Winona Ryder, Christian Slater, Shannon Doherty. Previously mentioned Shannon Doherty. She's one of the Heathers.
That's right.
And it holds up. It's crazy and weird and outrageous. And now these days, Petty Morals, a local rock band that I'm a huge fan of, they have a cover band, same women in Petty Morals, they have a cover band called Heathers.
Yes.
They do 80s stuff, and I really want to see them. I haven't seen Heathers yet, the band. I've seen the movie many times.
I did have a guess for 89.
What was your actual guess for 89? You've already won the year.
Despite the fact that I had so many favorite movies from 1989, I looked at the list and I go, what could possibly be Kevin's favorite? Because I couldn't imagine Steel Magnolias being your favorite.
I have not seen Steel Magnolias. I remember that movie. That's like a whole bunch of pretty high profile
women.
Yeah. I have not seen it. But Steel Magnolias, let me think. That was
Dolly Parton.
Was she in it? Maybe.
I'm pretty sure she was.
Olympia Dukakis, Daryl Hannah, Julia Roberts, and like six more famous women. I don't remember who else was in it. Well, obviously that was not my pick.
I thought maybe
When
Harry Met Sally. Because Heathers wasn't a choice for 1989.
Yeah, sure. So you thought I would go with like a romantic comedy. I'm touched.
Based on the options.
I did really like When Harry Met Sally. That was a really good movie.
And I think the fact that it was a good movie in its own right kind of trumped the fact that it was a rom-com.
Oh yeah, it really was. And that was one of the movies that really set the pace for all the ridiculous romantic comedies that would follow throughout the 90s were aspiring to be When Harry Met Sally and failing, I think.
Right.
But Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan were great, but Carrie Fisher
and
Bruno Kirby is like the second couple, the friends in that, were amazing. Very, very good movie. Interesting pick. Now, actually, the runners-up that I had after Heathers were Batman. Speaking of Jack Nicholson as the Joker, you had the 1989 Batman, which, not a great movie, but that was a movie that was huge for me. I was so excited about the 89 Batman movie. We were freaking out, my nerdy friends and I. And again, these days, we live in a world of comic book superhero movies where every 3 weeks, another big budget comic book superhero movie comes out. Back then,
that was not the case back then.
Not the case. Years would go by between big comic book superhero movies, and most of them were lousy and ridiculous. The other runner-up I had was the third Indiana Jones movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah.
This stuff all came out in the 89. Was such a monster summer.
That was a big year.
Yes. All right, well,
now that we're at the end of the list, I can do my big reveal here.
What's the big reveal?
So as we're doing this list of movies
from the
80s...
Is the big reveal that you broke into my house with a flashlight and went through this list last night?
No, and I still...
That would explain a lot.
I suppose we still have the score to discuss. But I just want to say what was throwing me off the entire time I was doing this list. I was looking through every year of the 80s. I'm like, okay, which year of the 80s did Meatballs come out? Because I know Kevin really likes Meatballs.
Yes.
Come to find out,
79.
Yes. So it's like every year I'm looking for meatballs, and I'm like, well, which 80s year did this come out in? And it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was a little something throwing me off the trail the entire time.
Yeah. Spiritually, we can consider it of the 80s.
Right.
But yeah, yeah, 79 was meatballs.
But for the sake of this list.
All right, let's...
So how did we do?
Let's hand these off to the judges and have them tell... You know what? We can feed these papers into the supercomputer.
Right.
This is a rare occasion. How often do we get to use the supercomputer?
Do we have the fire extinguisher
something
ready?
We better.
This is a lot of math for the supercomputer.
Feed these 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper into this very suspicious-looking slot in the front of the computer that we've never used before. There's the little slot that it spits the random number out of when we use the supercomputer, usually for the pudding pages, of course. But let's see if it can tabulate these scores for us.
All right, what do we got?
All right, be standing by with the fire extinguisher, please. Let's try this. Okay, looks like my total score was 11. That's actually better than I would have guessed.
Good job.
Yeah, I got 11 points. Again, I was giving 1 point for hitting a runner-up, 3 points for hitting the actual favorite. I got two movies right on the nose. That's The Boy Who Could Fly and The Little Mermaid. And I also scored 5 runners-up for a total of 11. But that was nowhere near enough points to come anywhere close to you, Cornflake. Your final score was 16.
Wow.
Yes. You hit 4 movies. Exactly. That would be Raiders, Diner, Breakfast Club, and Heathers. Plus you got a bunch of runners-up besides that. So... Well, all right, the winner is you.
Yay!
You won a whole pot of coffee.
Well, it just goes to show, Kevin,
yep,
that I'm listening.
One of us is paying attention. It's the takeaway from this little exercise. While the other of us is just daydreaming about Kiefer Sutherland as a vampire.
And thinking up really cool games we can play on
that
the show.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Look at all the fun we had. And, you know, isn't that the point?
Sure is.
All right, listeners, did we totally miss your favorite movie of the 80s? We would like to hear about it.
Yeah, we would.
Cornflake, how can people find us?
We're always partying on the internet, and you, dear listener, are on the guest list.
We're partying like Corey Feldman. Maybe not that much. Take that back.
That's are dangerous. We partying like the Coreys? We are partying like Ariel the Mermaid.
That's better.
Yes, we are. We are on Facebook.com/Flopcast. We're on Twitter. Our handle is @Flopcast. We're on Instagram, the_Flopcast. And we have our own website, too. It is flopcast.net.
That is correct. All right, Cornflake, thanks for playing this goofy little movie game with me.
The pleasure was all mine.
We'll have to try something like this again sometime.
I would like that. I'd want to do this for the 90s.
We should definitely do this for the 90s sometime.
Because as much as the 90s may not be as cool as the 80s, I remember movies from the 90s much more.
Well, you know what the 90s had that the 80s didn't?
What's that?
Jack Nicholson in a wolf costume.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, I understand coming out later this summer, Elderly Werewolves, starring Jack Nicholson. We'll see you there, and we'll see you here next week.
Yes, we will. Peace and...
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cleus Jacobs.
We're here to tell you about our podcast, The Earth Station DCU. Join us every week as we discuss the DC Universe.
We talk everything DC, including comics, television, the cinematic universe, and so much more.
We look forward to bringing you some great reviews and discussions.
And don't forget,
read more comics.
Are you crazy?
Maybe if you wish hard enough and love long enough, anything is possible. The Boy Who Could Fly.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.